Welcome to Let Fear Bounce, the podcast that sheds light on the transformative power of overcoming fear. And dogs and coffee will more than likely creep into our conversations. So join me, Kim Langling, the host of Let Fear Bounce, as I chat with folks from around the world who share their inspirational stories and how they've turned their fear into fuel for a brighter future. You're going to hear from folks just like you and me. People who have navigated challenges and unleashed their personal strength to craft a life filled with fulfillment and joy. So are you ready to be uplifted, inspired, and motivated to conquer your own fear and bounce toward a life that you love? I know that I am. So grab your coffee, sit back, relax, and let's get this show started. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Let Fear Bounce. I am so happy that you are deciding to spend just a little part of your day with myself and my special guest today, Lori Kesey. Now, Lori is an author and her book, Always Think of Me, is soon to be released. So that is exciting stuff right there. But she is also a former journalist. She has written for daily newspapers, trade publications, and magazines, and she worked for NASA in the public outreach for nearly 20 years as a communication consultant. She is a graduate of the University of Maryland. She's married and she has three sons, and now she calls Walland, Tennessee, her home. She considers herself among the lucky. She has recently retired after enjoying a 40-plus year career as a writer, and now she has the time to pursue her childhood dream of writing fictional characters who make a difference. And I've got to tell you, Lori, when I read that, fictional characters, or actually just characters who make a difference, that is what caught my main attention. So
really?
Yes. So
why is that?
Yes, you did. But that's what caught my attention, because I am all about tossing out nuggets of hope into the world and making your slice of the world a better place. And I love meeting other people that have a heart for doing the same. So I thank you for wanting to make a difference in your slice of the world, but welcome. Welcome to Let Fear Bounce.
Well, thank you, Kim. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Now, I know for you listeners out there, you didn't get any of the previous half hour that we were trying. We had such major technical difficulties, but we've rigged some stuff up and we are on track now to have a great conversation. Lori, I actually have been really looking forward to this conversation. And this was an invite that I had sent out to women in a certain season of their life. And for myself, that's women over 50. And so I wanted to chat with folks, other women over 50, to see how they're embracing this season of their life, because it is so different from anything else that we've experienced yet. But we are still blessed to be here. So welcome to Let Fear Bounce. And I want to ask you just brief, you know, give a brief summary, I guess. When you reached this season, say when you hit 50 and beyond, I'm not going to ask you what your age is. How did that affect you in any way? And did you embrace it, or did you kind of fight it a little bit?
I had been working with NASA. You know, I was so blessed that my boss allowed me to work remotely. And we're not talking just down the street. We're talking 500 miles away, and things were going well. And then a tragedy struck our family. And that is what truly changed my direction in life. I ended up quitting my job, which was a great job. Trust me, it was fabulous. I had an amazing boss. I met interesting people in NASA. I got to, you know, write about this amazing technology, but I could no longer do it. My mom had gotten sick. I was driving from Tennessee to Maryland, take care of her, and trying to heal from this tragedy. And that's when I decided, I think you need to pursue other things, quit your job, and dedicate your entire life to writing your blog, which is called The Accidental Blogger, finishing this novel, taking a stab at writing short stories, which I've done. I've written two, and you're going to go in that direction. And the whole reason why I wrote the book, it was born out of that tragedy. The book isn't about my son who died tragically in a swimming accident, but I did use him as kind of the muse, you know, for the primary character, TC. I know my son would have never reacted in the ways that TC reacts in the novel. But the things that my son liked, his basic personality, oh yes, that shines brightly in the novel. And you know, when this horrible thing happened, I have never felt such heartbreak. Nothing compared to how I felt, how my husband helped, how my other two sons felt. Nothing compared. And I kept saying, you know, God, why did you take him? Why did you take him? And God spoke. He gave me a reason to write this book, because I had always wanted to write a novel, even just one. This had always been one of my an item on in my bucket list. And what I decided was, we are all created for a purpose. Big or small, it doesn't matter. And if you don't fulfill your purpose, you may prevent someone else from fulfilling his or her purpose. And that became the, I don't know, the foundation, I suppose you could say.
Wow, what a journey. When you say that it's a heartbreak that it's, you know, it's unfathomable, I can't imagine. I cannot, so I won't even pretend. Because
Right.
there are literally no words for anyone to say to you to make anything better. But I will say that I'm so sorry that for your loss, for your family's loss. It's heartbreaking for me, and I don't even know you. To be able to take that and turn it around for something good because your heart was open enough to hear what God wanted you to do. That's just amazing.
Well, and another thing that was happening at the time when I sat down and started writing this book, and oh, by the way, this was the most difficult thing, other than experiencing the death of my son. Writing a novel is not easy. At least it wasn't. And I admire those who can just crank them out. I am in utter of awe of these people, because I'm a journalistic writer. You know, that's my background. I love writing personality profiles, blog posts, or the blog, accidental blogger. I interview real people who've overcome tragedy. And so they are characters. And I do try to offer hope in telling their stories. So, and it all kind of fed into this overarching theme of who I was going to be about. Overcoming adversity, because there's a lot of adversity in the novel. Lots. Things that I've never experienced with the other character, the antagonist, and her name is Jenny.
Very
Yeah.
exciting stuff. Writing a novel is completely different from journalistic writing. It's a
Amen to that.
whole nother realm. I am working on a, I do I coordinate anthologies, and
Oh.
I absolutely love writing short stories, and I've been doing it for years. And that seems to be my thing. That's what I'm good at, is writing short stories. And I'm often telling myself, or people will say, why don't you write you know, a whole novel? And I'm like, because I, you know, I don't know. My brain doesn't go that way. It doesn't go that way yet. I'll put it that way.
Yes. Yes.
That way yet. I have stories in my head. Oh, I have all kinds of stories and characters, and I know what they sound like and what they look like and everything like that. I just haven't gotten it down on paper or on my computer yet. But so I applaud you for going from one realm to another and finishing a novel, because you're right, that's not easy.
And I made sure I had a lot of editors. I absolutely needed them, because they showed me where I had gone astray, and I had gone astray quite a bit. I ended up doing, including in the initial draft, when I think back, that thing was awful, awful. And why are you adding this? You're detracting from the overall flow of the novel. You're because you have to insert this thing. You know, you're dragging the reader down, and they're going to stop turning pages.
Are so crucial to book. You know, and I there's a group that I'm involved in, I have been for years online. It's called Women on Writing, and love it. They offer all kinds of neat stuff throughout the year, and they offer contests and things like that. And a lot of times when you enter a contest for like a short story, they also offer the option of having your story critiqued
Yes.
by, you know, a professional editor or someone from a, you know, a bigger publishing house, something like that. And whenever I've entered, I've taken that option, because knowing they're going to rip it apart and But they've always come back and said, absolutely love this, or wow, this story, you had me in tears and thinking of when I was 6 years old. And so I grabbed their attention, and then they would say, but
Yeah, the butt, the big butt. Yes.
want to know more here. Why didn't you share more about this before you got here? And so, but they gave all the notes in the critique and they send it to you. And I've kept all of them. And I've learned so much from having my stuff ripped apart. You have to have a thick skin, but the way I look at it is, I'm not taking it as you can't take it personally. Do you find writing when you began not doing the journalistic type, but when you're doing like your blog and you're interviewing people or doing things like that, did you find that cathartic in any way?
Absolutely. When I'm talking with people who have experienced incredible tragedies, things again that I've never experienced, people who've been trafficked, people who have been in the depths of addiction, and they have no hope. Or a woman whose son, he was 18 or 19 years old, and he made a very stupid decision, and he ended up getting arrested. And then he violated, if memory serves, he violated his parole. So they come and get him again, slap this kid back in jail. They move him where he ended up being killed. Can you imagine? He's murdered. And that is really hard.
While in jail.
In jail. And his original crime was so petty. But you know what these people did? They turn their grief into sponsoring ministries in prisons. They're paying for the laptop, or not the laptops, but rather the tablets, so that prisoners can hear a Sunday service from my church. I think that's beautiful. And you know what's really beautiful? That these people get out of jail, and often they show up at our doors at our church. Now that is doing it.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's tossing out all kinds of nuggets of hope.
Yes, it is, really is. And these people's lives are transformed. And there's one man who's now leading the prison ministry. I love these stories because you are not defined by your past, period.
And I've often said, and I say it all the time, actually, you never know what someone's going through or what they've been through to become who they are today. Each day, most folks, myself included, especially when I worked outside the home, you put a mask on every day. You slap that smile on your face, you take a big breath and say, okay, time to pull up your big girl panties. Let's get through another day. Sometimes that's very hard to do. So you just never know what people are going through or what they've been through.
And I suppose that's why we should be encouragers, because
Absolutely.
you don't know what people have gone through. I've never been trafficked, ever. I was never sexually abused. I'm on my knees in gratitude.
We never know what's coming.
No, we don't.
And we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to, I feel. Well, because there's no book that says this is what's coming. Actually, the book that's out there starts with a B.
Yep, and ends with an E.
Ends with an E. It has IBLE in the middle. The book, which I'm a Christian, I'm assuming you are as well, just from some of the things you've said. So I do read the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you that you're guaranteed a smooth ride.
No. In
Nope.
fact, Jesus warned us,
Yes.
you are going to be persecuted.
Yes.
That's right.
And that
And
you have to give it to him.
yes,
That's so hard.
it is, because you want it. You want to walk around with this. It's like your security blanket.
Right, you
But
want to carry it with you and be like,
yeah,
yeah, but I've never,
oh.
let me ask you a question. I've never been one who, no matter what I've been through, and I've been through the ringer, and so have you. No one gets through life without going through the ringer. But I've never once said, woe is me or why me. Never once. And I've read before in many different things or heard other people when they're being interviewed or whatever, they'll be like, well, why not me?
Right.
I'm not so special that this shouldn't happen.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
it's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. But I've never been one that says, why me or woe is me ever. I have never pulled that little card out. I'm always one that's like, all right, okay, that sucked.
Yes.
And I
Yes.
guess, you know, now what do I do to feel better? What do I have to do to feel better now? You know, in a positive and healthy manner. What do I do to feel better now? And that's just me. That's just me and my personality, because I'm very persistent. I'm very stubborn. And I'm like, all right, Kim, pull up your big girl panties. Let's just go.
Well, I'm typically an optimistic person, but I remember when I was in my 30s and I was working, full time, the whole bit, the kids, we had a babysitter, whatever. And I was very deeply disappointed in where my career was going. And I did pull out that woe is me. But you know what, Kim, that also happened before I really started dedicated. Before I turned to Christ. Oh, yes.
You were
Yes.
in your 30s?
Pardon me?
You were in your 30s
When I had that woe is me incident
when
or
you
that moment.
returned to Christ?
No, that didn't really happen until we moved. I've been playing around the edges, my entire life. But honestly, moving to Tennessee changed my husband, me, dramatically.
When was that? At what point?
We moved 10 years ago, 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's when it changed. And I'm telling you, I truly believe God, this is divinely ordained. He wanted us here. I think because he loved us so much. And we ended up being among people who are not afraid to espouse their Christian views. And where I was from, that's not always the case. So we did. No, both of us were baptized. We dedicated our lives to the Lord and our lives were changed. And every day my husband says, I am so glad we moved here. The Lord uses these horrible things to maybe say, okay, you need to rely on me. And you know what? You need to take a different road. And if this tragedy is being used to divert you off the path you are on, and on to a new one, because our utmost goal is to help others.
Right. And you know, your path is already laid out, so
Yeah, but we get,
we don't
well,
know it.
we don't know it.
But he does.
That's right.
He obviously had you move to Tennessee for a very specific reason, so you could get through that tragedy a little bit with
Oh,
people,
yes.
surrounded by people that would be helpful to you.
That's right. He also directed my son to move here. Yes, my son.
I don't know how people, you know, and I know people are probably like, oh my gosh, I don't want to listen to this anymore today. They're talking church. And you know what? That's okay. You're not my listeners if that's how you feel. And that's okay. God bless you. But I cannot believe that people don't see the miracles and the things, how they're laid out, how they happen, that it's not coincidence.
That's right. It
And
was.
I get so fired up with that. But I would never argue someone or try and be a Bible thumper. You know, I'm never ever going to try and slam my Bible over top of someone else's head because that's their journey.
That's right.
You know,
That's right.
I call myself a late bloomer. I didn't come into this till my mid-30s. So I'm like, I'm still newbie. I'm a newbie Christian.
Oh, yeah. And so am I.
50s now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's what do they call it? Sanctification. I believe that's the official term, which, that's a big word, meaning that you're just becoming more closer and closer and closer, to him, and how you're changing, how the Holy Spirit works in your heart and changes you. I'm like you. I am not a Bible thumper either, but there are certain things. I do believe that this faith is beautiful, and I wish it has been contaminated a little bit by wrong thinking, and even the character in the book. He is the TC character is he, he is I don't have anything to do with religion. Religion.
I've talked to so many people, and I'm sure that you have too in your journey, that say, I'm not religious. And I always say, I'm not either.
That's right. It's
I'm
the
not,
perfect response.
I don't follow a religion. I have a
Yeah.
strong faith, and that is a
Right.
huge difference.
That's right. These man-made rules. Oh my gosh. And these man-made rules have hurt so many people. And they're completely.
They change them often,
And
it seems like.
that's right. You know, or they do horrible things to children.
In the
And
name
then
of, right.
in the name of, you know what? This, it is appalling.
This is not the direction I thought this conversation today was going to go.
Is that right? Well,
Oh, literally, no, completely had no idea. But that's why I love doing this show because, okay, first off, it's Let Fear Bounce. And there are so many out there that are fearful of talking about their faith,
that's right.
proclaiming their faith.
Well,
And
so was I. So was I. I keep it under my hat. And then I started, and it was so interesting, Kim, when I started writing this, the accidental blogger, and I kept hearing this thing, no. You need to go veer over here a little bit more. And so I do. I do. It's not all a bunch of Christians. There are so many people I'd love to interview. They're treat them with honor and decency and what have you. But a lot of them, but some are. And they are willing to share their story.
right.
And it's sort of like my ministry, showing others who may be more secular minded, hey, you ought to check this out. This might be the answer to what you've been grappling with for years and years and years. I'm not pushing anything. No.
Honestly, it rarely comes up on my show, and it comes up organically, like it just did today with you and I. This was nothing that we had chit-chatted prior that we were going to talk about. I didn't know you were a Christian until we started talking. Because I don't walk around to people say, are you a Christian? You good?
No, yeah, no, and I, neither do I.
So I love, that's why I love doing this and chatting to people and meeting people like you and how things just kind of come out and flow. And that's why I always say I don't go with a list of questions because that's just boring. You don't get to know the person that way. So I'm so, I'm excited that it went this direction. I am this and maybe a lot of folks that, the typical listeners of this show, maybe it's not what they want to hear, but you know what? I bet you any money that there's at least one person that's listening to it that is the one who is supposed to be hearing it.
That's right. That's what I love about all this. Even what I do, writing and stuff, you never know who you're going to touch.
Right. And it's out there forever.
That's right.
You
That's exactly right.
Put a book out into the world, the book is no longer yours. Those words are no longer yours. You have just gifted it to the world. And when I think of it that way, my mind just kind of
Well, it certainly helps fear bounce, that's for sure.
have to armor up and let it bounce because how would you get through the day? There's poison darts coming at you every single day from
That's right.
direction.
That's right. And if you allow the fear to hobble you, you'll never, again, getting back to your purpose. Oh, I can't try that. I can't try that. What if I fail? Well, I don't know
Well,
how
what
this is going to
if
turn out. Yeah, what if you fail?
you do? Who cares?
That's right. It's done. It's being published on April 2nd. People are pre-ordering it now. I'm doing my level best to get the word out about this because I do believe someone might, there might be a nugget in that story that will transform someone else's life.
There's no might about it. There is someone out there that's gonna. Your book is going to land in the right people's hands at exactly the time it's meant to happen.
Well, I certainly isn't, that is my hope. That is truly my hope.
I sincerely believe that. When I have a three book series called When Hope Found Me, they're anthologies. There's many different people sharing their stories. And when we first put those together, that was right smack in the middle of the 2020.
Oh yes, lovely
And
year, wasn't it?
it was just their fear was floating everywhere. And that's when Fear Bounce was born. And so I quit watching TV 4 years ago.
Good for you.
Watch, movies or I watch YouTube, stuff like Netflix, stuff like that. I don't watch the news. I don't listen to the news. I will read certain things, just so I'm not completely buried in a hole. But I will not let the world feed fear to me. I refuse to be a follower and believe everything that's thrown at us. I'm not that kind of person. And I know in my heart that that's what I needed to do to maintain.
That's right.
You know, and to be able to, in the midst of all of that, is when I came up with Nuggets of Hope. And I am almost finishing up a book called Nuggets of Hope. And so hearing you, you know, sharing your story about getting your story written and stuff like that, it's, and how you came about, you know, you changed this season of your life. You made a big change, a drastic change to your life.
I did. And
you,
and
that.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and it wasn't like I'm rich, but I was
me.
Very well compensated. I was, you know, I made okay money, but then we had to make something good from all that wasn't.
Right. And there's always little nuggets of hope to be found if your heart's open and your eyes are open.
Yeah.
Because if you just cover yourself in that blanket of fear and anger or bitterness or why me, if you cover yourself in that, it's going to get so dark. And you're not meant.
But
some of us are meant to be in the darkness.
But think of this too. When I started writing this, this is, you know, what was it? I guess when I started writing, 2019. So it was a year before, or a few months before 2020. And at that time, oh my goodness, the number of suicides among younger people, it's the percentage skyrocketed. That also factored into my thinking. If these folks understood their purpose, that they were brought to this earth for a special job to do, would they be so quick to end their lives?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And that, unfortunately, that statistic is still very high.
Oh, it is. And the fear is still out there. In fact, I just spoke with a woman who runs a, it's not a stable in the traditional sense. It's a therapeutic. She has been running this for quite some time. And prior to 2020, in order to have the ability to go to this facility and allow the healing work of a horse, they had to have a diagnosis. You know, from now, after 2020, children are just filled with fear. Parents are filled with fear. And she opened it up. You don't need a diagnosis. If you have any of these issues, you are welcome, you know, to participate in their programs. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
It is. There's a couple equine therapy here too. One is specifically for veterans who live with PTSD.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I just think it's wonderful. There's so many beautiful people out there, and I don't know why. That's why I'm like, I just want to keep on tossing out nuggets of hope, because I can't change the world, but I can change my slice of it.
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, you and I are on the same page there.
So I love meeting people like you, because I don't think that it's out there broadly enough. There's millions of people out there doing amazing, wonderful things. But that's not what we hear about in general.
No, we don't.
I want that to change. But I'm just one person. So, you know, I can change it through my podcast. I can change it through my books, those little tiny slices here and there. And maybe someday I'll have a bigger platform, you know, to reach more and more people. That's my hope, actually. And it's by meeting folks and chatting with folks like you, because we can share. Okay, so you've chatted about your book. Where is that going to be released? Is that through a traditional publishing, or are you self-publishing?
It is. The book is published through Mascot Books. It is available now, you know, pre-order at all the, you know, major bookstores, Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes and Noble, that type of thing. And it goes official on April 2nd.
That is coming up soon, less than a month away.
It is. It is.
How exciting. How exciting. So let folks know where they can find out more about you. If you have a website, anything.
Oh, yes. Yes. People can reach me visiting my website, which is LoriKesey.com, you know, the HTTPS, LoriKesey.com. There is a tab on that website called Fiction, and you can go there to learn more about the novel, as well as download copies of the two short stories, which are also, they're based on true stories, the two short stories. And I got to tell you, people, what are you going to do next? Well, I think I'm really, like you, going to really tackle some of these short stories that are bubbling around inside my head. And I'm going to continue the blog. And the blog is also found on my website. I'm on social media. And you know, folks can email me. I love getting email. And it's Lori@LoriKesey.com. There is a Goodreads book giveaway happening now.
Everybody out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us ramble, myself and my new friend Lori here, ramble on about our beliefs and all kinds of things. And I hope that you caught a few things, you know, that we were talking about, a few things that maybe you needed to hear out there today. Be sure to check out all of her links, will be in the show notes and the description, because this will also be on YouTube, folks. So the YouTube channel is simply called Let Fear Bounce. And you can watch it on any or listen to it on any listening platform, but you can also listen and watch on YouTube. So be sure that you like and subscribe and share, by all means, share. But all of her stuff will be in there. So thank you, Lori, so much. Oh, actually, before I forget, I always ask each of my guests to toss out a nugget of hope to the listeners. So, what would your nugget of hope for the listeners be today?
You know what? I'm going to borrow the name of your podcast. Let fear bounce. Fear is a horrible thing, and it does, it cripples you. And and if you allow that to take over, you will not do the things you're supposed to do. And again, back to how we're all intricately linked, you may prevent someone else from not doing something he or she needs to do. I said that earlier, but I am a firm believer. That's my message.
Oh, that's a beautiful message. And I am positive that people are hearing it that need to hear it. Yeah.
Good.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome sauce. Thank you so much for
Hey,
being.
thank you. Oh, it's been wonderful.
Yeah, this has been a true pleasure. And everybody out there listening, thank you so much once again for spending a part of your day with myself and my special guest today, Lori Kesey. Everybody out there, be well, stay well, and be blessed. Thanks so much for joining me on Let Fear Bounce this week. New episodes upload each Wednesday, folks, so be sure that you subscribe on one of your favorite platforms that you listen on. Also, we're on YouTube, so hop on over to YouTube, folks, and subscribe there. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you. You are amazing. Have a beautiful day, everybody. Be well, stay well, and be blessed.